Hey y'all.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's
Hi,
going
hi.
on?
Good evening. Good
Good
evening.
evening.
I'm excited. I'm excited, nigga tail continue. I'm sorry.
Part two.
Let's do it. So hey.
Hey.
What's up,
what's
girl?
Up?
Hey, that's
Martin Luther King
Day.
Martin Luther King Day.
We got a dream about this shit, for real.
Right. So let me tell y'all what I just did real quick. So Angie's like, my sister Angie was like, come over, we finna put some meat on the grill. You know, it's Florida, we still outside on the grill. So we finna put some meat on the grill, you know, get together family. So I went to the store and bought happy birthday everything. Happy birthday plates, happy birthday napkins. So they was like, who birthday it is? I said, only the greatest human that ever lived.
I know that's right.
I forgot the reason for the holiday. Look.
Right.
The reason for the season.
Come right.
You had to remind me.
Yeah. We just over here just.
Oh, I love the way you think. I love the way you think.
A big monument in the DC for no reason.
I know.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Right. He ain't the most famous Negro for no reason.
That.
He tried. He tried. He did his best.
His best was enough. I think we talk about him the most because he was the most vocal he was the most profound speaker of, you know, leading up to things. So but it was others in the trenches with him, you know, that made a lot of things happen. But this ain't Black History Month.
Not yet. Not yet. Still got a couple weeks.
We knocking. Look, that's generational. Generational. Shout out to the generation. Oh, we get back into this discussion.
Yes.
I listened last week, like, I don't know how many times this week. I was like, okay. It was fine. Oh, dang, yeah. So I hope y'all did. I hope y'all did too, listeners.
Yes, I did.
I listened a couple of times, and we left off with the kids, and wherever y'all want to pick up at with the nigga tales.
I'm open. I ain't gonna kick the flow off. So, where do y'all want to go?
I can definitely kick the floor off. I just was thinking about it, listening, you know, recapping what we discussed. And now I thought about New Year's, and I thought about New Year's Eve, and I thought about all the nigga tales over the years about the greens being for money and the black eyed peas being for this. And I said, how many people actually sat down and just said, you know what, let me do a budget for the new year. Let me do a financial analysis of what I got going on for instead of cooking, you know, cooking these dishes to bring us luck and bring us money and washing all the clothes, you know, before the end of the year, going to the, what did everybody do to cleanse their soul? What did they do to, you know, in reality make things how they want it to be for the new year instead of going off the nigga tales that we all grew up on of, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to cook this, you got to cook that, you know, you're getting money and the luck and, the, you know, all of this. Did anybody sit down and do all of that? Like go into reality and just say, hey, let me be financially stable. Let me write down my goals for the new year. Instead of like cooking up a big ass pot of black eyed peas and a big ass pot of greens and just hoping and wishing and praying that, you know, the new year is going to bring all of this because you cooked all of that. What actually did you do?
I love it.
A tale, that's a nigga tale that we could just stay right there for this conversation.
Coins. The greens ain't just for the money, and the cornbread ain't for the damn gold. Are we investing? Are we putting back?
There you go.
Right. Okay.
So I think I'm just gonna say my little piece real quick. I think that with the nigga tales and all of the superstitions that are connected to the foods, for those of us who are Christians and are spiritual and everything, I think what they forget is the passage that say faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So you can do the traditions, but like Stella just said, if you're not putting in any work, it's all dead. The mm-hmm. food was nothing but nourishment to your body.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't done anything to benefit you. So if you believe in these traditions and if you believe in, you know, what you're doing, if you believe the nigga tales and you see that nothing is changing for you year after year, you got to think about it like this. If you still cooking that same pot of greens in that apartment that you renting, that you've been renting for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, and the reason why I said we could stay right there is because African-American people in a certain economic demographic have a terrible relationship with money that keep them stuck in that economic demographic. That's why I say we can stay right there, because you're talking to somebody, Stella, who at 41 years old, I just became savvy with money, I would say right at about 35. Mm-hmm. And that's late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand the importance of money. I didn't understand how money worked. I do now, and the shit is working great for me. You know what I'm saying? But I think nobody wants to take the time to actually educate themselves on how money works.
Money and how the world works in reality. Right. Not what we hoping and wishing and praying for and expecting, you know, things to come out of it. It's how it actually works.
Right, because I look at money for what it is. Money is a social construct. It's not real. It's a bartering tool. Mm-hmm. You do this, I give you this piece of paper, mm-hmm. which allows you to purchase or, you know, it's bartering. Before we had the paper dollar, we had different things. We had trades.
We had goods. To trade.
Right.
Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
I grow corn. You grow potatoes. She got pigs, he got cows.
Mm-hmm.
So we all bartered. There was no physical currency. It was just goods and then your skills,
mm-hmm.
which what got you through life. Once it became physical currency, that became a way to control different demographics of people.
Mm-hmm.
And us as Black people and the nigga tales, we still don't trust banks.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't trust financial institutions. We have no idea what the stock market is doing, and we have mm-hmm. no idea. We have no idea why we're still saying it's the white man's fault.
Mm-hmm.
When we have the same means and we have the same 24 hours as the white man. Ooh. I'm not saying they didn't have a head start. We know they had a head start,
of course, and they didn't put some sugar in a tank. A couple of times, throw their ass a curveball a couple of times.
Yeah, they still putting sugar in the tank.
Yeah,
we still got to do twice as much to get half of what they got. Right. But at the same time, we still have the opportunity to do twice as much to get to where they're going.
Right.
That's just where I'm at with it.
Come on, cousin.
I want to in my little neighborhood, in Stella, you know, you here in Daytona.
Yes,
I don't have any degrees in finances or economics or anything like that, but I do know that 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand, I understand how money works. I had a banker that just sat me down one time. I walked in the bank, because y'all know I work in the restaurant industry, so I always have a lot of cash. So I walked in the bank, and this little old black lady said to me, "What are your financial goals?" And I had no answer for her. And that was at 35 years old. Mm-hmm. I was 35. I walked into the bank with a wad of cash. She said, "What are your financial goals?" I looked at that lady like she had just spoke a foreign language to me. She mm-hmm. said, "Come over here. Let me sit down. Let me talk to you." Mm-hmm. She went over my account. She pulled up my transactions. She pulled up all this stuff. And she sat there and educated me. And then she taught me that. She was like, "You see all these people sitting here? We work for you. We work for the bank, but your money is what's in this bank. So we work for you. A lot of Black people don't know that you can walk up to one of those bankers. If you have an account there, a lot of people don't understand. You can walk up to them and say, I want to build a financial portfolio. And it's their job to help you build that. But we don't know that. We think we just go to the bank teller, give them our money. We got our debit card and that's where we keep our money. No, those institutions are to help us build wealth. But we don't know to use them in that manner. We know just to give them our money and just keep going about our day. That lady literally changed my life.
And Tara Berry is also about not trusting them.
Right.
It's a lot of us as African Americans don't trust banks. We don't trust the people to work on them. We know, you know, most of the elders, they do have bank accounts because, right, you know, in the day and time that we live in, everybody, you have to have some. You can't just keep hiding the money in the mattress. You know, you can still do that, but some of them need to go in the bank because everything is so digital and just, you know, with the fast forward pace that we're going in the world right now, a lot of them have, but they don't know what's all out there to help them.
Right, and that's one of the, I'm going to let you in, because right after I say this, that's one of the nigga tales. Mm-hmm. So what happened in the 30s when the market crashed, those people had a right not to trust the bank because the financial institutions failed them and they lost everything. And they kept passing that on generation after generation. So that's why we're where we're at now, because things that happened in the past, like you said last week, I'm sorry, Stella, sometimes you got to leave that old way in the old way.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So
totally agree.
They kept passing that distrust to us about banking institutions. Mm-hmm. And now we don't want to put our money in a bank. We don't want to invest. We have no idea how to invest. And it's holding us back when we could literally be catapulted forward. Like, we making the money now. Now we making the money.
Yep.
Now we got the good jobs. We got the degrees. We got the, you know what I'm saying? We making the money, but not the money just sitting there. The money isn't working for us. We're still working for the money, and then we just putting the money in the bank, not knowing that we can make that money that's sitting in the bank make money.
And make it make sense.
Right. Go ahead, Steph.
I love it. I love it because it brings to mind for me, like you said, T, it's late in the game, you know, that I too, you know, it wasn't until, hell, right, like you said, 35, 36, late in the game, that it's real. Right around the time I had Taylor on, or just before having Taylor, Taylor's 6, and I'm 42. So you're not going to say that you never made money. But to take serious, you know, even in my role when I was a scientist and all of that stuff, you know, I did my company's plan. And when I walked away, it was, you know, not what it could have been had you put more into your 401k.
Yes.
You know, had you not, you know, not blew money on Ciroc. You know what they say? Two, I think we got to have a better relationship, or like you said, understanding money. More now, even in like one of the challenges that you share with me, T, and get you a box of envelopes. It's that simple. You start where you are. Where you are. It brings to mind for me just setting goals, you know, and being specific about that goal. Go ahead, Stella.
No. Finish what you were saying, though.
It just brings to mind to me that I say that I have these 100 envelopes, and each day I'm going to put back $1. I'm going to go to $2 the next day. And even if the third, fourth, fifth, seventh, 26th day in there, you don't have those $26, you know, do something that you can to put back. I think that we wait to have a conversation. We think it's okay. You know, we joke about that, you know. Oh, my mama had the cable in my name. Then I hope a lot of us are streaming, but we still do that kind of thing. And we laugh and we joke about it when really, when they're that young, we should be, you know, kind of like I said last week, man, it's easier than ever to take a small amount of something and start there. You know, I left off last week and saying life insurance, man, that's a basic. We will spend the 40, 50, 60, you know, the minimal amount of money it takes monthly to maintain a pretty good policy for our children, even our loved ones. You know, you can go in on a group of loved ones on the oldest member of the family. That's something to me that I know some of my friends, different races, like they're adamant about. They have a group of them that invested and they pay on something because we can get that millions of dollars off of our oldest elder that we know is going to pass away. Nobody has an issue with it because they understand how money works. Budgeting though, I think just be clear. We got to learn to be clear about setting a goal, you know, specifically, what do you want to do? I want to have enough money to leave this apartment, right? I want to have enough money. Maybe it is. I just want to leave my mom's house. You know, I'm thinking young, right? So maybe you're a teenager. A specific goal is I want to make enough money to put down on an apartment in the city that I live, right? Okay, how do I want to do that? I want to have, what is it, first and last month or something? So I want to have $4,000 or $5,000.
First, last.
Oh, well, see, I need $7,000.
You have to have at least $5,000 to move in.
There you go, right at now. Least. Right? So that's measurable because you could do that. You could say, I know I have a visual of what I want to say. And then how am I going to achieve that? I'm going to, you know, work. I'm going to set up my online boutique. I don't know. It's one of those things where I think we really need to start thinking about. And I like what you said too, Terrence, and that our institutions that are in place are there for us. You know, credit unions and stuff. It makes me think about, it wasn't until I started to do stuff with Bitcoin that, like you said, what is money? What is the history of money? Bartering and realizing that the money that we use in coins and dollars is fiat money. Okay. It's currency that's issued by a government. Bitcoin is a currency, but it's decentralized. It's not run by a bank. It's run by us. We own it. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't realize that you can create your own bank. You don't need a bank for you to run your money, right? The government has kind of, I'm going to say they've messed up. They're going to find a way to try to probably get in there and regulate now because so many people are catching on to, really, I could do that? You know, I was watching TV the other day, and I was like, wow, a freaking commercial for Megan Stallion talking about endorsing Bitcoin on Cash App. You think it's by happenstance that now all of a sudden now, January 1, 2022, hey, you're getting a 1099. Ain't no more just transferring money on that back end. Nope. So now, you know, even from a tax preparation perspective, now you need to learn. If you never tried to learn the rules of money, you know, and the things that you can do with money. Because two, let's not even go into not just your cash, but credit, man. The name of the game to get ahead, too, is you know how to work credit.
Yes, yes.
A lot of your money is freed up anyway to do what you want to do. I've learned that in business. And, you know, like my VA stuff, I didn't start till after I left state government. I think we have that worker mentality as a nigger tail. You know, we want to work. And two, we like, you know, we tend to want to put on.
We like to spend.
We do. We're spenders.
That's what I was just going to touch on.
So we have the money.
We get so lost in you only live once. That YOLO life, like, I'm not going to be here to spend this dollar, so let me spend it. Like, let me spend it all right now.
We got to let that money work for us, you know, make it work for you. I'm not wealthy. I shall be. This is my year of double portion. I profess that because, like you said, T, I got a greater understanding. And know you all like that, you know, y'all know that rock with us. That's what we stand for, man. This is about self-improvement. So it's no critical, like, oh, they, you know, it's not a put down. We're saying, like, how are we going to do better? And I think it does. It start with that basic of just start where you are and have yourself the nice things, but don't do it with your cash is king. Hey, cash is king. You know, I think too many people wait till it's in shambles and things aren't in a green area. When your foot can't be on the gas, to kind of try to figure out what can I do better about money. small goals. I tell you that helped me so much last year. Terrence just shared a challenge with me, like, cuz, yeah, just get you some envelopes and you know, just stop when you use the money back. You'll look up and have this.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Let's start there. So I vow to, you know, in our social or just blast, like, it's the top of the year. If you haven't done a vision board, you know, let's educate. Let's put some resources out there to say, let's try to understand money. And let's not even go into, like, the compounding interest and things like that. When you begin to save, you know, what can be in favor for you? Like, what is it? All right. People don't realize that they can invest and own, man, buildings at Amazon rent.
So let me step in, Stephanie, because I work in public housing. And we've had people come in and try to speak to those in the public housing programs about budgeting, about saving money, about putting ahead, about getting ahead. And do you know, it's maybe two or three people that show up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really disheartening to me because I came from that. And I use it as a stepping stone. And a lot of people do not, they sense where they're at. And they're very to not doing anything to get ahead. Nothing at all. They are just so loving. Get this free, free, free. Get this, and I'm going to get that on the government's dime. And I understand
why would I think that so many of us are used to what we've seen and what we witnessed. You know, I think it's a fear. It's scary to, all I know is work, right? All I know is work, and,
right.
And I've only seen, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, or until I get paid again. I won't jump there, Stella. I can cut. I want you to finish your thought so that it is not like
I got you. I wasn't quite sure what happened, but
go ahead.
I don't even know where I left off at.
You were saying. Go ahead, T.
You were saying that you understand being in the situation in the public housing.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I do understand where some of the mentality comes from, because they're like, and even though they themselves, it's been passed down from generation to, like, okay, this is where we're supposed to be. The white man won't let us get no further. But then you see this other generation that comes in, and it's like, you didn't come from this. Most of the women. Because it's usually women, it's single Black mothers. They're not single, but they pretend to be single. It's young Black women coming into the properties and the projects, and they're not from there. They're not from there. It's not a generational thing. It's like your mother and your father. You know, they were together. They did whatever, you know, and you just ended up here, and they just want to live like that. And I just, it is so hurtful to see that when they just, well, and it's just so combative sometimes just to speak with some of these younger generations that are now living, you know, in public housing, and they are very complacent about being there. They don't want anything else. You see a young mother come in with one child, and she's pregnant. She has four kids within 2 years. And she's happy with just being there and just doing the minimal amount of work on her part to get where she needs to go.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in real quick. I think because we're three project babies.
Yes, sir.
We Stephanie had, you know, her dad and her stepmom.
No, well, yeah, briefly.
But I don't act like
Caroline Village won the dirt, you know. Come on.
Right. I don't want to discount Uncle Van.
No, not at all. But, you know, I had Derbyshire and Imperial Drive, but
you grew up in Caroline Village.
Absolutely.
In Pine Haven.
Yes.
But you know, back to what I'm saying. We're three project kids. Mm-hmm. And I think the badge of a good parent is your child should be doing better than what you're doing. So my mm-hmm. mom had seven kids, right? And I thank God, like I'm a food stamp baby. I'm not ashamed to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm a government assisted raised kid.
Yes.
But I did not know I was poor because my mom did right by whatever the assistance was, she did right by it to make mm-hmm. sure that I didn't need for anything. And she also made sure that my next home wasn't a project.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So we should be doing better. As a parent, you should want your kid to do better than what you're doing. You should be trying to set them up financially. And to speak to what you were saying about nobody shows up when y'all try and get financial counselors.
Yes, we do financial analysts. We do home first-time home buyers program. Like they don't. You have to offer them free stuff for them to come.
But the thing is, the reason why they don't show up is because the person talking to them, and this is just me thinking and playing devil's advocate. The person talking to them is a person that is super knowledgeable, has degrees, and probably can't speak their language. That's why I was saying somebody like me. That's why I was saying I would like to do. We could call it hood finances. I can call it whatever. Mm-hmm. But somebody like me who learned by trial and error, I can talk to you and teach you how to put that $5,000 in 100 days.
I do agree. I do.
I think that's a whole segment. I think we go live and everything. And because you're right. I it needs to look like me. Yes. I gotta hear how it sounds. It has to make sense. I can't feel like it was a banker. She don't know. She right. is, you know, she got it. She got the money. She not that right. Food stamps, you know what it is that I got this and I got to make it work with this. You know, I got right. this much money to go to the store and that's all I got. And I it's agree. Still doable.
Yeah, reminds me. Because,
go ahead.
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Stephanie. Because if that's all you know is free and handout, then you feel that you don't have anything to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't talk to me, you banker in a three-piece Brooks Brothers suit
mm-hmm.
with a briefcase and a phone, and you just pulled up in your new Tesla. You can't talk to me about saving money. Because you can't identify with my financial situation. Even if I tell it to you, you can't identify it. Versus me, the project baby, the mm-hmm. success story, you know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, I can look
oh, at I you. Oh, I just know you.
Right.
I've seen yeah. you in my community. I know you from around here. Right. I know your sister know.
Right.
Right.
You know? Right. I know your mama. I know, you know, your mama was, and my mama was friends. But I could look at you because my first job was Wendy's and I worked there from 14 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
Did not budge because my grandmother taught me something. You never know how much money you're going to make at a job if you keep starting a new job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's something she taught me. My grandmother was at what's the name of that? Walmart for 30 years.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So I can identify with the girl who worked at Wendy's. So, and I could tell her, you're making this much money. You need to do this, and if you can't do this, then you need to do that and that. And she can understand because I could look at her and be like, friend, we can't. When you go to Payne's or Payne's clothes, but when you go out, you on a 3-drink minimum. That's
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because I can identify where her money is going.
Yeah, or look, you get that sales paper and you meal plan because right. you got $70 for your food budget. So this day you got spaghetti. Tomorrow y'all got, you
leftovers.
Know, and that's that.
He's
that's what
leftovers.
It is. This night is club sandwiches because
yes.
we got bread, turkey, and this. You know, it's just one of those things where some people, it's not that. You know, it can't be stopped. Don't, and we can do it wholesome. I tell you, I got a girlfriend that I admire. She teased me all the time about Steph. You eat out. You just be eating out, girl. Give me your budget for food, and I can, you know, between noodles, this, tell me what you like to eat. We will make it work. And I tease her all the time, but has full flesh because Angie loves to cook like she do. She's going to come on too. what if you don't? But because she loves to cook like she do, she really taught me a lot about get your sales paper, you know, see what's there. And I told her all the time, you need to do like a live on like, this was in my pantry and this is what I can make it work. You know, who don't love Raymond? I love Raymond. Ooh, Stella, I saw something you put up one day and I was like, look at this bougie ass pawn girl. Raymond,
what? I can do Raymond 40 days somewhere.
What?
I get it in.
I want him. I was like, the finest of the finest ain't freaking Raymond like I saw Stella do on something. Honey, listen, you know, but
it was at a minimal budget. You hear me?
Right. Peppers, you're not thinking like that, though. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you need to go to a farmer's market, you know, or we got a big flea market out there. Sometimes people don't even realize, like, farmers, there are ways that we could get it done. And we just, you know, like you said, we got to hear it from somebody else. And then, too, sometimes I'm not doing because I just don't know.
Yeah.
I realized that too, that some baby, you got to think, okay, I didn't finish school, and I'm not saying go off to college, but maybe I'm embarrassed by, like, I ain't good in math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't really tell me, I don't kind of know. I don't know how to cook. You know, it's some of those things where some basics of meeting people where they are, you know, some of us stop buying new. Hey, I thrift sometimes, and I've learned that, oh, you can thrift, baby, and be fly to death, you know? So, and I get for some people, you know, you look at that funny, but clothes are clothes, you don't have to buy full price either. I mean,
how,
you know, you can buy new.
Fashion is repeating itself, honey. Everything is coming right on back.
Baby, I don't be throwing nothing away, Stella, I'm telling you. My man teach me all the time on Pat Rat, and I got to tell right on back. Because what I had that shirt 10 years ago, I wore that then and it's fly now. I get it.
I get it. Everything y'all saying is 100% correct. And we got to find a way to, like, the embarrassment or the lack of knowledge or the lack thereof.
Can't keep being the tail. It can't.
Right. That can't keep being a nigga tail. Like, we're not our parents, we're not our grandparents. Our parents did better than our grandparents.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're doing a lot better than our parents. Yes. And our kids are gonna be far, 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 so much further than us when they get to our age and start giving grandkids and things like that. But in the present time, to that young lady who's living in the housing and don't know and is working at minimum wage job, there are resources to get you out of it, but you got to get over the shame and walk into that building.
I agree, and that's what it is. It's a lot of shame. It's a lot of, I don't want this bitch to know my business. I don't want to be in a room with this person because then they're gonna know they're gonna think I need something because I act like I don't. And that's the main thing, is the acting like you don't need. You don't need the knowledge. You don't need this. But you getting a handout. You just, y'all in the same predicament. What matters if it's all about having that, I don't know, they just don't have that self-confidence. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I want to do better for myself and for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And they so worried about what somebody else is going to say. Who cares?
But at the end of the day, even with the lack of knowledge, even with the high school dropout, the one thing that we know as people of color, the one thing we know how to do is count. We can count money.
Oh, that is one thing we know how to do, baby.
We can count money.
That is one thing we know how to do, baby.
So I'm not talking about no investments. I'm not talking about no interest. I'm talking about the cold, hard cash that you make.
Yes, sir.
You know how to count money, and you know how to look at, if I line your bills up and not line your finances up for the year. I mean, I'm sorry, for the month, you see the bottom line, that what you have left over. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then that's why I say 1 + 1 = 2 on every day. Every day of the
week. Some are not, though, T. You got to think. I think when you say end of the day, I think that's the problem. Some aren't. Some, you know how many people, their tail is from month to month, this is being cut off. You know? Yeah. Things are being disconnected. Yeah. I'm getting an eviction mm-hmm. notice. I got to move. Mm-hmm. You know, my car got repossessed. I got to get me another car. You know, I ain't got no insurance. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I get we say we got to count, but we got to know, too, that sometimes that tail is just that, like you say, right in the face of what are your bottom lines? You know, are you keeping track of what your bills are? Because it can't just be the tale of, well, I work, I got a job, but then I don't know what I'm making. You know, from from day to day. I don't have that bottom line.
Right. And that's a nigga tale that we have got to break if we're going to progress. I honestly think, and this is gonna steer the conversation. No, it's gonna stay in the same direction. I think and so many people, I've had this conversation with so many people. I had this conversation sitting on my best friend's porch in Soul City, and everybody was offended by what I was saying. But I think there needs to be a limit on housing for people. You should not be able to just, like Stella said, you show up to Stella's office and you got a baby on your arm and a baby in your belly, and you say, I need housing. And Stella say, I'm going to provide you housing. And then in 2 years, you got two more babies. Mm-hmm. So now Stella got to move you out of that two-bedroom. And she got to move you to a bigger apartment. And then now, here it is. Your kids are 18 years. They done graduated from high school, and you have not bettered yourself. Ooh. So I think the government, I don't think it's an accident that there's no limit on the handouts and the free things. Like I said, I was born in Halifax Hospital. I came home to South Street Projects. I graduated from Mainland from South Street Projects. That was 18 years that my mom lived in the project. It wasn't until I left, because now she got less children, that she was able to move out into a house. You see what I'm saying? But it took that long, but I think it took that long because she was coddled by the system. You know what I'm saying? So I think it needs to be limits on how long you can just sit and get free rent. That is not fair to me. If I'm right now, I live in condominiums. Right now, the person to my right or into my left, rent can be $0, and I'm paying $1,300 a month. But because you are a single woman who chose to make those type of decisions, the system is set there to help you. And I understand we do need safety nets. I get that. I get that people fall on hard times. I get that, you know, fathers go away, people die. I get the safety net of the entitlement. I don't want to call them entitlement programs. That's not what it is. I get the safety net of the help. I don't know what type of program. I don't want to call them entitlements because it's not, and it's not a handout. But I get having a safety net, but you should not be able to just lay in that safety net like
and
it's a
depend
handout
on it for the rest of your life.
Of your life, correct. Yes.
I got you.
But we don't see that. This shit is designed to keep us as second class citizens.
Yes, I agree.
It's designed to keep our children. It's designed to break their mindset.
Not want more. Like and it's not that, not even to say that they don't want more, but to see more, to know that there's a whole nother world out here.
And
I think, but that's
so
us as a parent. You know, our guardians and our parents we gotta find a way to, you know, I don't know, influence that exposure.
Be what we were designed to be.
That God.
Be what we were designed to be, and not get caught up in what was and what we were taught and what our parents knew, be what we were designed to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's if somebody else has, I can have too.
Exactly.
Beyond.
Exactly. Just don't get stuck in, oh, we never gonna make it. Oh no, we've made it. We can make it further.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you a quote I read in Jay-Z's book. It's a great book. But what out of that whole book, it was one line he wrote in that book, and he put it in one of his raps too. But he always say, you know what's more important than $1 million? Credit.
Yep.
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 You know what I'm gonna say, let's not even.
Right. So yep. you know, and then that lady who sat me down at the bank those years ago, she said something that totally affirmed what I read in Jay-Z's book. She said to me, if you fix your credit, you'll fix your life.
You will.
Literally.
You can go, you can walk into any establishment and get anything that you want.
Yes.
When you have that credit on your back. Yep. I don't care. You can have all the cash in the world, baby. But if you got that credit on your back, you don't need no cash.
Because then it's other people's money.
Yeah.
And it's OPM. That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the name of the game.
That's the name of the game. Listen, I'm just gonna brag on myself a little bit. Go ahead, boo.
It's attainable. The thing is, say to break this tail, because it's attainable. You know, it's attainable. If right. I can, if anybody is listening, our artist, and heard your story tonight, then yeah, damn right. Go ahead.
So, I ain't never had a brand new car. I ain't never bought a car from the car dealership. I've never had a brand new car, right? So, at 35, I started fixing my credit. So, then I thought, okay, this credit's going up. I not walked in the car lot because it was COVID. I got online to get my car. They asked me, what you want to put down? I said, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They said, what you want to, you don't want to put anything down for a down payment? I said, no.
Mm-mm.
And they said, okay.
You don't have to.
I said, okay. What people don't realize, down payments at car dealerships, I learned this also, down payments at car dealerships is literally illegal.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, T.
Yes.
But they don't know that. You don't have to give them anything.
Nope.
But your payment is going to be based on your credit. The reason why they're asking for that down payment is to get that the bottom line of that loan down so your payment can be something you can handle. But you don't have to do anything. I told that man nothing, and I'm not paying over this. That man said the car is yours, it'll be there on March 24th.
I know that's right.
I've never. I went to show my friend the car. She started crying. She was like, we just look kids from the projects. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I fixed my credit, and I honestly truly believe that fixed my life. It made me so much happier because I didn't have to worry about the hours that I'm putting in at work. I didn't have to worry about if my paycheck is going to be enough because I have other people's money to barter with.
Yep.
I can help with that.
Right. I have people that said, oh, you good. You got good credit. Here, take this money and go buy that with it. I travel more. I'm going different places. I'm very disciplined. I've always have been. Like I said, I've been working since I was 14. But at 14, if I had the knowledge, if I had a parent that knew, if I grew up in a two-parent household with, you know, a home and they're paying a mortgage, if I had the knowledge that I have now at 14, I would be a millionaire because I've never stopped working and I'm 41. But my financial situation isn't where it should be because I had no idea. I was spending the money. I would spend. It wasn't nothing in no savings account. Mm-hmm. I had a bank account. I knew I could buy all my friends CC's pizza when we skip in high school. You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting to rock and grandma and shit. I can have what I want.
Right. Right. When I'm starting to smoke weed, don't worry about it. I got the quarter. I'm about to. Because I got the money, but I didn't know. I didn't understand. And I really do want to start teaching our youth about how to handle their money. Because if your mama isn't going to teach you, and the schools definitely ain't teaching you.
Oh, no.
Come on, baby.
That's a whole other conversation.
No, because if you know, if they taught us, I think that's an ultimate fail. Even when we had, you know, typing and when driver's ed and some of the things that we know were in schools, it was good.
Baby, which one of y'all using algebra right now or geometry? I just want to ask.
I just want to ask
a question. Which one of y'all niggas is using algebra or geometry? Not damn one of us. But if they would have taught us how to fucking save money.
Yeah, basic accounting.
Man, listen.
Assets, liabilities.
That's a whole other conversation.
It wasn't until college you had some what, like micro, acro, but at a very basic minimum level. This, that. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Mm-hmm. Layman terms. A whole different world. But no, because then you empowered.
Yes.
You know? And I think that was one of a huge lesson out of COVID and COVID happening. I was, man, listen, think about how many people we know, bomb ass hairstylists, we know business made, but didn't have their documents in order, did not have an EIN, did not have a business bank account. Come on now. And those are, you know, the basics. You know, catering. I don't even just say the hairstylists, but we know a lot of them, you know, that just couldn't even take advantage of what the government said. Because what runs the country? What runs the country? Small business. Small business. So I think, too, we got to get out of that nigga tail of you're not just a worker. You're not just a worker. And ain't that work wrong with working, but also bossing up, because you can be a boss, too. You know, it's like boss over your money.
Yes.
To get to that next. We got to learn to do that. Like you say, Stella, there are resources in place, because folks don't realize, man, the government, listen to me, Uncle Sam, the government is the best person to do business with. You know?
But you got to have your shit in order.
But you got to have your shit in order.
You have to have it in order.
You got to got your documents. So don't be afraid to let somebody know.
All of that side money shit, it can only take you so far.
No, not all that fake TPP documents and debt.
You have to actually be legal.
Get straight on paper, do it right, and the world is yours and everything in it. Everything in it.
I agree.
We're going to break this tail.
We have to. Yes.
It starts with us, right where you are.
I don't mind sharing. Anybody that knows me, a lot of people tell me, "Well, why do you tell people?" Listen, I'm nothing to hide. The game is to be told and not sold. I'm sorry, I'm not selling nothing that I have. If I know it, you gonna know it too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sharing any kind of knowledge that I get. I don't want to have to sell it. I don't want to sell it. I want to give it to us for free, because that's what we deserve.
Right,
we
that's the gift. Exactly. Because I give it to you to be, you know, that's the blessing. The blessing is in the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give it. So totally, you know, my wrap up, guys, is man, let's set those goals. Whatever that is. Like, just take inventory, right? Take inventory. I don't, you know. And be real with you on where you are and breaking that tail. It can't just be, girl, my mom and them use my credit. What we do? No, that ain't what we doing no more. I'm not knowing what, I don't even know what that is. My lights cut off this week. I ain't got no cell phone. I got to go get another. Stop that. We're not doing that. So first is like, take inventory and let's clearly identify. What are my financial goals? What do I want to do? You know, as I kind of jumped out there and said, okay, I want to get an apartment. I want to buy a car. T said, I want to go to the car lot, because you can. Yeah, I want to buy my first house.
Walk on and walk off without doing anything.
Who knew that?
Your name on the dotted line.
Who knew that? Yeah, I learned that, T, when I first came to Atlanta. You know, I dated a guy briefly who, I didn't say dated. We kicked. We went out a little bit. But he worked at a car lot. And he was like, man, you ain't got to have no money. You need no money to get no car. I'm like, what? you know, my little blue Taurus. I'll never forget that little car. My six CD changer in the trunk, and I had rims on that. I was stoked, like, what? I don't need no money. I work and I got a job and stuff, but it was shocking to me, like you said, to know, hey, but somebody taught you or told you that for you to know. You are right. The asset, you know, and more of us do. We need to think about, what do I need to consider? You know, I can start where I am, because then once I know what my goal is, then how can I get there?
And there, listen, you go. I don't ever think that I will want to plug something, but let me tell y'all something. A lot of people go on TikTok for the dances and the new trends and stuff, but baby, it's a whole nother side of TikTok. Black businesses, black growth. Like, oh, yeah. It's, people need to tap into, like, just get off of social media just for entertainment. You can have mm-hmm. your entertainment on there, but baby,
the world is at our fingertips, Stella.
Listen, they sharing the wealth. They mm-hmm. are sharing the wealth. They are
because they know the because they realize once I've tapped in, once I figure I got that secret sauce, once I realize that this is obtainable. Oh shit! I wish I'd known before.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. What I know today, you wish 5 years, 6 years, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I was in a career, a government job at one time, and I worked a second job.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to do that, knowing what I know today.
No, exactly, and that's just what Terry Bear said it. If he would have known what he knows now, man. The possibilities are endless, and that's one nigga tell we gotta get on. We limit ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We limit ourselves because our parents limited themselves and our grandparents limited. Our possibilities are limitless.
Ooh,
and we gotta let potential our kids is know limitless. Your possibilities mm-hmm. are limitless. There is no cap. Like they say, no cap. Ain't no cap on what the fuck we can do.
And it's easier today than ever to become a millionaire.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
if we learn we can do is, how to work our money
mm-hmm.
and how money work. So let's adjust. That's just my take on. We're gonna take inventory. We're gonna identify some goals, and you need help doing that. Gotcha. We're gonna get it done.
Yes,
so you can get a plan in place. You know, like you said, it's pointing to those resources that we know in the social media. You already stalking and on it anyway.
Yeah, you know, it anyway.
And then you can adjust. Tap in. Yep. And then you can adjust. I love it. Ain't no broke no more. That's no longer tell.
I ain't been broke. I ain't gonna be broke.
No.
I'm gonna give a quick take home. My take home is financial knowledge is power. Yes. Learn about money. I don't care if you do it on TikTok. I don't care how you learn about it. Learn about money. Our people seem to be afraid to learn about money. And what I'm thinking of now would spark a whole nother conversation, but I'm going to say it anyway, because maybe we could come back to it. We have to, going back to that pot of collard greens and that black eyed peas mm-hmm. and all those silly ass nigga tails. I love me some motherfucking black eyed peas. Lord knows I do.
So that means you want your coins. You want your points.
I love black eyed peas. I do. But I never ate black eyed peas thinking that this is going to help me to prosperity. I never thought of it like that. I ate black eyed peas because when my mama cooked them, they was delicious. So I love black eyed peas. But what I'm back to what I'm saying is all of that stuff and that whole mentality that money is the root of all evil. That is not true.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. That is not true, and we need to break that. That's my take on. Learn about money.
Yes.
Money is not evil. The person who have the money can do evil things with it,
mm-hmm.
but the actual money, actually obtaining wealth, that is not evil. It is set. It is here for us to obtain. So learn how to do that. That's my take on. Learn how money works.
Yes.
Amen.
It's a tool. Whole nother world.
Stella, you got anything to take us out before we get out of here?
My main thing is just share. just share whatever it is that you think, whatever it is that you know, even if it might not seem right or might not sound right. You never know who can benefit from you sharing what you think and what you know. And I think that that's what a lot of people think. And even if that person is not in the bracket that you think that they should be in, I would still take something from it. And that's all. That's my take.
All right. There you have it, guys. We breaking the nigga tale of being broke.
Yes.
No.
Break the broke.
Break the broke.
Break the broke. Love y'all.
Girls Collective.
Girls Collective.
We love y'all. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time. Girls Collective.